Now, the beauty of a theory is you get to test it out as many times as you'd like to, so it gives you freedom in that sense. And yeah, man, so I'm just walking around and recording, which, as an idea, is something I got from my parents, because apparently, she was like, wow, like you always say you forget a lot, and you know, especially when you go and indulge, forgetfulness is part of indulgence, because you know, whatever form of escapism we choose, half of it is to pass time, and passing time is basically forgetting what you're doing, doing something else. But trying to balance the guilt, I guess, because there's a lot of guilt on the things that we don't do. And I've been running out once, and I feel like the sun is back out, like out of nowhere. This motherfucker just showed up, was like, whoop-de-woo. You heard the earth was spinning faster, it got closer to me quicker than you'd anticipate. Anticipation in itself is a skill now. It is self-gratification when you decide your intuition or your gut is better than everyone else's. And, you know, people who always say, yeah, I had a gut feeling, they always amuse me, because that is a decision that what you feel, how you feel it, your process, how you go through it, is better than everyone else's process. Is how your feelings are better than everyone else's feelings. But there's not a perfect or imperfect way to do anything. Everything is as it is. We would always want to adorn some form of improvement or development to what we are doing. But it is all in hope. You hope that there's some change that will come from what you're doing, which is mad. I'm doing this on my phone and I have a whole microphone. Yeah, so I'm really funning myself. That's why some people might think I am funny. But phonetically, just horny. Wagwan and beautiful people, welcome to another rendition of the Dojo Nosy Podcast. My name is Jacob, aka the Black Aristotle. Your story is only validated if you win. Success in its simplest form is defined differently by our experiences. But what that statement basically alluded to was that when you have been perceived to have succeeded, when you meet the parameters that your generation or that society at the time considers successful or winning, however you got there, whatever you told yourself to get yourself there is validated. All the lies you tell yourself, all the gaslighting you do, it becomes validated. That's why, for some reason, you decide to follow the routines of successful people. Almost every millionaire, multimillionaire, in fact, not even millionaires, anyone who has a couple of hundreds of thousands in their account will post like their daily routine, yada, 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 the books they read, you know. Whatever they've used to get themselves to, you know, where they are, good or bad. Because obviously, you can't tell me that waking up at 3 a.m. and after you slept only, 4 hours is healthy every day. Like, it's good. You're maximizing the time that you're awake. You're probably using 24 hours better than other people. But is it, like, healthy in general? We always see many successful people, when they get older, they start reiterating the value of meaningful relationships, be it friendships, you know, however you want to define relationships, because some people were brought up, you know, we all brought up differently. Like, that relationship, for a very long time, we only attributed it to like, you know, something sexual per se, you know, something romantic. But when you grow up, then, you know, you start having so many friendships, you start meeting so many people, that not everything can be romanticized, so you have to have different types of relationships, and you touch all these types of relationships. But you try to have one overarching principle that you use to guide you through through how you establish them, sustain them, and, you know, if need be, end them. Anyway, enough about me and my little ramblings. If it's your first time here, dojo is a Japanese word for a place of high meditation and thinking. Nosi is the Greek word for knowledge, and I am neither Japanese nor Greek. I am Kenyan. But, you know, enough about all that. Now let's get straight into the shithousery, because, you know, this is what this podcast is for, premium shithousery. So, former Machakos First Lady Lillian Ng'ang'a starts her YouTube channel, Lil Thoughts. Now, if I know most Kenyans are by this point, are, you know, we know this story, we are aware of it through memes, or what I like to call internet sources, being tweets, posts, anything on the internet, we are now calling them internet news sources. Now, through memes, I had learned that there was a governor, Alfred Mutua, the wife at the time, Lillian Ng'ang'a, and Msani wa sana kijanetwa Madrid Giuliani. Now, obviously, we thought that Lillian had left the governor for Giuliani because, you know, Giuliani would sing poetry at night and things of that nature. But obviously, it eventually turned out to be the power of the sugar cane. They also now have a child. We saw the former governor posting a funny picture because he's now the CS or proposed CS for foreign affairs. Makes sense, you need socialite. Right? Only politician socialite will be given a job like that to be for foreign affairs. But GPBB really want an affair. Anyway, so good experience in dealing with such affairs. So he posted something to the tune of, funny when you grow up and realize you're suffering because your mother chose a big dick over, you know, a good lifestyle, you know, or something attuned to that happiness of, you know, prosperity. And, you know, that is why I started the pod talking about success and things of that nature, because I saw another video of Giuliani akona room yake flani ya content creation on a green screen, tripods and stuff. Lakini hapo kwa meza anapika chapati 100. But he then came out saying he's broke, not poor. So yeah, I guess I may find another way of defining wealth. Na sisi bado tumebaki by checking the bank balance. Yeah, but it's crazy, you know. So it makes us wonder how many of our parents chose like love over prosperity. I love them to say, mamako alikatiwa na mtu rich, akachagua baba yake juu alikuwa anampenda mo. But hey, you are who you are. And if you somehow convince yourself to love yourself who you are, then, you know, you're lucky. You are lucky. And things are good for you. As they should be. So, yeah, Kenya, we are now, I guess, almost 100 days into the first presidency. Or to this presidential term. And it had me thinking about presidents, because this has also been a year of elections, as they said before, except Africa is having coups. But that is a topic for discussion another day. So our presidency, then I saw that Brazil also having elections. I talked at some point about, or will talk to some degree, about Italy having a female president who's a Mussolini supporter. England have a female Prime Minister named Liz Truss, but they don't trust her at all. So there's a lot of elections happening all over the world, a lot of, you know, change in the geopolitical workings of the world. But this now had me thinking to Africa, because I already talked about the monarch dying, the English monarch. But you also have similar African monarchs in Africa. Yeah, similar monarchs in Africa. So I want to look at 7 of the longest serving presidents in Africa, because I didn't feel like doing 10, because 10 would just be too long. And I don't feel like talking about them. So at number 7 Mgongoni, we have Isaias Afwerki. Isaias Afwerki has been the president of Eritrea for 27 years. Personally, I never hear anything about Eritrea. The only thing I've heard is that Eritrea is basically Africa's North Korea. So he first came to power in 1991, after leading the independence movement from Ethiopia, and has been re-elected twice. Of course, Eritrea is the most repressive and isolated countries. The government controls all aspects of society, Basically, Eritrea is a police state. That is why you never hear anything about Eritrea at all. Like, ameshikilia, hiyo ni personal estate yake, amefunga gate, uwezi ona hata juu ya fence. Ni crazy that there are people living like that. And there's a lot of drought and suffering. Like, I remember watching a documentary about Eritrea, man. So just getting a phone to charge was like, you have to go kilometers, man. Then at number six, you have Idris Deby, who's been the president of Chad for 31 years. Before you even talk about the president of Chad, just think about Chad. I remember that there's a former MP known as Danson Mungatana. I'm sure we are very familiar with the name Danson Mungatana. So Danson Mungatana was recently in court because he had met a Chad national posing as a Nigerian witch doctor. So this Chad Nigerian witch doctor convinced Danson Mungatana that he has the ability to multiply money. So, unajua Danson Mungatana was like, are you sure? Danson gave that dude 500 G's. Which, first of all, if that is the amount of money you're using to see if you trust somebody, you are rich. This dude was already willing to just gamble half a million to see if it will come back or not. So, half a million, akaletea milioni. This thing was like, wow, there she works. Akapena milioni, akaletea milioni mbili. Next time, akapena milioni tano, akaleta milioni kumi. So Danson Mungatana was like, this, and you know, he was giving this cash, and this dude was returning to him cash. Now, this is a story that Danson Mungatana himself is narrating in court to a judge. It is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. I was like, what the hell is this? This is a clearly affluent man, a man with enough money to educate himself, to at least improve. Like, you know, some things happen to people anyway. So the dude was like, Danson Mungatana was like, wow, I gave him 5 million, he gave me 10 million. So I kind of tore a whooping 76 million. Yeah, and this dude went, mortgaged his house, and pulled up with 76 million. Kenya shillings, pesa taslimu, hard cold cash. So first of all, hebu imagine baba yako, ni mko kwa nyumba umetulia, una complain vile wifi haiwaki vizuri. Kumbe ugaidi ameenda ka mortgage nyumba, aka withdraw all the money, akapelekea maganga. Ndiyo sasa akuwe rich. Well, after giving the Chad witch doctor 76 million, months disappeared. Akapata for 6 months. Obviously, if you have 76 million cash to give somebody, You will sell your car or whatever, you know, to facilitate or to catch them, which he did, and brought him to Nairobi courts. Yeah, this is one of the most funny stories I've heard. And what made him be more convinced is the appearance this guy put. This shows how much we credit appearance for, like, we give appearance too much power. Because it's like, oh, I'd go to this guy's house and he lived like a king of some sort, like he had bodyguards and security and maids and all this shit that we've attached to affluence or power. So yeah, Danson Mungatana lost 76 million to a Chad Nigerian witch doctor, and Idris Deby has been the president of Chad for 31 years. He came to prison since 1990 after leading a coup against the military government that had done a coup. So he did a coup of a coup. He called the coup, the same thing that has happened to Burkina Faso recently, where they did a coup of a coup. Crazy. Yeah, so he's been the president, has been elected 5 times. And this country is the most poor and corrupt countries in the world, with constant rebel groups. And at number 5 is our favorite African dictator, Yoweri Museveni. M7, he immediately to Musomishia Wimbo because he's a fan favorite like that. Yeah, Museveni has been the president of Uganda for 34 years. If somebody was counting, since 1986, and he's been re-elected 3 times. He's also one of the oldest presidents. He's around 78 years old, man. This man will die a president. Obviously, the propaganda is Uganda has grown, but you know, again, given where they are, I guess it's growth. Interesting thing about Museveni is the other day, Museveni has a son. I don't care to mention the son's name, because this dimwit, who was born in affluence, tweeted that or said in an interview or press briefing or whatever he was doing, that he can take siege of Nairobi. Now, as a Kenyan, I do not like things that make me feel unsafe. Or things that just threaten my safety. Because mimi is one, first of all, sisi kubali kuwa recruited to fight for my country. Like they said, one of the highest or one of the most searched phrases in Google in Russia is how to break your arm, because you can't be enlisted in the army if you know you have physical injuries like uta baliko shotgun when you have a broken arm. That's because Putin has been drafting Mandem, especially protesters, into the army. So yeah, Yoweri Museveni, your favorite president, dictator, African dictator, ameshikilia for a good 34 years. I also heard that when he came to Kenya for the president's inauguration, he had a like bulletproof toilet or bomb-proof toilet or something, which is just crazy. Like, I mean, I guess when you're taking, you're most vulnerable when taking a shit. So like, that's why I always threaten people that if somehow they came, almost my friends when, you know, we are super late, but if they, you know, they kill me or some shit, or if I die with them around them, I will haunt them. I'll be a ghost that haunts people when they're taking a shit. That's why, if any of you watched Boondocks growing up, General Stinkmina's ghost came back to Jebediah Freeman as a, in the toilet while he was taking a shit, proving that you are your most vulnerable when taking your shit. Now, speaking of pieces of shit, at number four, we have Denis Sassou, who's been the president of the Republic of Congo for 36 years. Now, do we even have to talk about Congo? Like, we know, if we have Kenyan armies at, in the DRC right now, that's how fucked up life in Congo is right now. We don't, like, we don't even have to talk about him. Then we'll move now to the number three. Number three piece of shit is Jose Eduardo dos Santos. He's been president of Angola for 38 years. Well, he was the president for 38 years. I think, I don't know if he's still there or he's wanted right now. Yeah, because from 1979 to 2017, so I guess he's not the president anymore. Of course, the, when somebody's in power for that long, human rights abuse, the mob, the lot of corruption, there's a lot of inequality, there's a lot of poverty between, you know, the poverty gap increases all the time. And at number two, this is a very interesting human being. He's called Paul Biya, and he's been in power since 1982. Where, again, as most of the presidents in this list, he did a coup and then became president. But, you know, the, our top dog, our head honcho, is Tedros Obiang Nguema Mbasogo, who is the longest serving president in Africa, is the president of Equatorial Guinea, and has been in power since 1979. So, you know, he's a person who's been accused of killing his political opponents, like everything dirty you can think of he has done. He's currently trying to run for the sixth term because, you know, he does whatever he wants. But at least one good thing he has done, he has abolished the death penalty. So, yeah, he has taken away the death penalty. But, you know, the funniest thing about him is that Equatorial Guinea always has two vice presidents, like a senior vice president and a deputy vice president. And his current senior vice president is his own brother, who is Tedros Nguema Obiang Mangue, nicknamed Theodorin. So yeah, it's a family business in Equatorial Guinea. And apparently this younger brother was also the like junior vice president and got promoted. Has always been in government, always. Yeah, so they're not making it easy out here. But yeah, you know what I've also learned, so looking at all these presidents, most of them did coups to get power. And you know, I was like, wow, this is just stealing government. And then I reflected on my own life and I was like, the most successful relationships I've had, like the best relationships I've been a part of, and this is with girls, just in case you're wondering, because I've also been hit on, like, you know, like too frequently by men. I don't even know how to put it, but it has happened too much.
Anyway,
the best relationships I've had is in any Miba de Muamuto. So I guess Mimi and African dictators, we are, you know, we are two peas of the same pod, two sides of the same coin. Anyway, beautiful people, Manze, that was just some shithousery from me. It was a good morning today, so I guess
if you enjoyed that episode,
thank you. If you didn't, I promise there'll be better ones next time. I promise I try. At least Mukeziskia, these episodes I believe sound better. Each episode sounds better than the previous. And I always leave you with what is going to eventually, hopefully, become my tagline if I remember to say it enough times. Don't go changing and be who you can afford to be. Yeah, so thank you for listening. You can like, share, subscribe or not. I don't really care as long as you listened. Yeah, so until next time, have a nice. You're 14, you got another one.